Praise God. Well, as you know, Dave, Nikki, Pete and myself went off to Zambia a couple of weeks ago for a week and a half, more or less. And we had a great time. So I'm going to show you the video. Some of you saw it before we went out, but quite a few of you were away. But we did a video of this church because all those in Africa, you know, we support them and we've been supporting them now for many years, but they've never really seen what kind of church we're like, and we wanted to give them a little bit of a picture of us. So that's where we're going to start, and then I'm going to hand straight over to Dave to talk about the journey and the conference. So over to you, Freddie.
So we showed that video when we were out there, and I think they were amazed by the church here and the amount of love that we were able to send to them from our congregation. But before we could show the video, one thing we had to do was to get there. And I know we've talked before about the journey, and I won't talk too much about it, but we have got a video to show you. It's fair to say, hopefully you're sitting comfortably, because for about 3 days we weren't. And the journey this time, the good thing is last year, it was evident they were building a new road for the end part, and they were probably, I would say, 12 months off finishing it last year. So we arrived this year to find that they're now probably about 18 months off finishing it. There's bits of it which are finished, and they very nicely allow you to drive just to the side of it so you can look and see the bit that's finished, and you'll see a little bit of that. But there is one section which we'll see in the video, which is fair to say is frankly the worst bit of road I've ever driven on. It's better than South Gloss roads, but it's still really bad. Let's show you the video and show you how we got there. So you see, it took about 12 hours of driving in total. There are bits of it where there was a road with potholes, bits of it where there was half a road with potholes, but you still had, you know, you needed one wheel on the road. And there were bits of it where the road just stopped dead. I think at one point we discovered the road ended and it was an 18-inch drop-off. It literally stopped. It was an 18-inch drop and then dirt. And we discovered the best way, Pete and I, was just to basically floor it and jump it. Because if we tried to go off slowly, it was just painful on the car. The luggage was rammed in. I mean, properly rammed in. We could not have taken any more to the point where it was literally to the roof in the back of the car and rammed against the glass. And you might have heard Evans shout there, "Is the boot okay, Dave?" Because I would say probably maybe 10 times we had to stop to shut the boot. Because every time we went over a bump, the boot flew open with all our luggage in the back and laptops and things. We kept stopping. We stopped for mushrooms, as you saw. They were frankly the biggest mushrooms I've ever seen in my life, like sort of small berries. And Evans, in his lovely style, asked if he could have 10 kwacha, not much, any sort of pound or so, to buy some mushrooms. He then said, "Oh, I better take another one just in case." So we gave him 20. He then promptly came back and said, "Actually, they're quite expensive. Can I have another one, 30? So we gave him 30 kwacha, which was lovely. He bought some magic mushrooms. He bought some superb mushrooms. And got back in the car, and then we went off over that bumpy section. The bumpy section lasted for about 3 hours. Sorry? I wish it had been magic mushrooms. It would have made it so much more enjoyable. So we went bumping off down that bit, only to hear Evan shouting, "Will you please go careful? You're bashing my mushrooms." To which we all thought to ourselves, "Well, I think they find there are mushrooms." But we eventually got there, and I think we stopped for around about an hour in the middle to have some food. If you follow us on Facebook, you'd have seen Pete and who else had it? Was it you had the lemon? Nick and Pete had a lemon. They asked for Sprite, and they said, "Well, we haven't got Sprite, but we've got lemon twist. Was that okay?" And we said, "Yep, fine," on Pete's behalf. And it came, and it was shocking green. It looked like purified Kermit. I've never seen anything so non-lemon in all my life. It also contained, I think it was 70% of Pete's entire daily sugar intake in one drink. We had a great journey, and we finally got there. So setting off on Sunday, we arrived in Solwezi 5 o'clock Wednesday evening. But it's a journey which you have to experience yourself. I can't really show you just how bad it was. That bumpy bit, you might have heard me say, I had my foot to the floor in the car, and that was as fast as we could go. Everything was just wheel spinning. It was sand, dust. There were times you couldn't see. There was times you didn't want to see. We overtook a lorry. Well, I thought I was overtaking one lorry, which transpired to be two lorries, both with trailers, so equivalent to four Arctics. And after I pulled out, the road stopped on my side, so I ended up in the dirt at about 60 miles an hour. Got past them, praise God, safely. And then the boot popped open, we had to stop, and they drove past us laughing. In fact, it was so... our overtaking manoeuvre was so reckless, risky that the lorry driver stopped, asked if we were okay. But we were okay, and we got to the conference. So the next bit is the conference. There's so much. There's 4 days, so sit comfortably. Let your friends know you won't be home. It's called the Cave Gathering. I don't know why. So there we go. Some of the things you would have seen there, you'd have seen that we travelled on a lovely 4x4, and we got asked one day, I think on the first day probably, if we could help pay for a vehicle to go and pick up a church that were on their way but had broken down. And we happily did. We gave them a gift, and they sent that green truck which you saw, which is like a coal lorry, and they went to pick them up. What we then discovered is they went 178 miles to pick them up, and put 58 of them stood on the back and then drove back through the night to get there for the morning, which is why you see some of them maybe slightly dozing at the back. Although they do have stewards or ushers with big sashes, and they have some great roles. One of the roles is to make sure everyone's behaving. The other role is to walk around whilst you're preaching and happily do things like this, just walk around and sort of go, look up down the aisle and go, wake up in the middle, which is and nudge people. So that's quite entertaining, seeing them looking, making sure everyone's awake and giving them a slap around the head if they're asleep. They also, one thing they did do, which was quite amusing, I don't think we're going to adopt this in here, is during the offering, or rather after the offering, when Pastor Joseph got up to give thanks for the offering, looked at the congregation and just went, you three, you didn't get up. Why not? You're not committed to the work? You're going to get up now and give some money? And pretty much went like that. And it just stood there, silent, just like looking at them as if to say, well, are you? And we sat there cringing, thinking, oh no, I'm glad I put some money in the offering. But they, they have a different style to us, maybe slightly different culture. But it was brilliant. Edward, you saw translating for many of us there. Rich spoke in the Lusaka church, which he'll maybe mention later, and Edward translated from Rich's English into the local language there. He then came on the first day of the conference and translated into another language. When the Malunga church arrived on the back of their coal lorry, he translated into a third language, and then promptly told me that he knows two others as well. So he was translating each day into a different language, depending on who the congregation were and who least knew English. So he's a really clever guy, a really blessed guy. He copies everything you do, so if you, when you're talking, you raise your hand like this. When he translates, he raises hands like that. And I did look back, and there was one bit which I didn't show in the clip where Richard laid on the floor, and Edward was right behind you, pretty much laid on the floor as well. So it was a great conference. We had a great time. Rich spoke on big butts, and which took some explaining to start with, because they didn't understand the word butt. So Rich had to explain, because 4 of his messages were based around that. I spoke on Nehemiah 3 and building the wall, and Nick spoke on hope being the anchor, and a few other things as well. But so we had a great time, great conference. It was very warm. I think it was 38 degrees. Praise God for fans, even if they were shoved in an electric socket with a couple of matchsticks. But we helped bless them with some plugs. So that's my bit over. Pete.
Thank you. I'm not as slick as Dave. I'm going to read mine. I want to give you a short summary of this year's visit to the school, after which I'll show you some photos. The visit was really interesting and successful, and it was great to see the new church building being used by the school. It was operating in 3 rooms, and a room and another class was meeting in the corner of the main hall. We visited all the classes and observed them having lessons on numeracy and literacy. A number of children that were attending the school have stopped attending for different reasons. However, there are currently 40 children attending the school, which is excellent. And others are looking at starting in January, which is the next intake for the school. After looking around the school, we all gathered in the large church area where we gave out the gift bags that we took out. These were greatly received by the children, and can I thank you all for your kind donations for those gift bags. They mean so much to the children because they have so little. Once we'd finished with the gift bags, we then gave out flip-flops and socks that Sally kindly donated to the children. After this, the parents, carers and children gathered as families, and we presented each family and staff with a 25-kilogram bag of mealy meal. You may remember last year we visited two pieces of land, one for the church and one for the school. As you know, the church has been built, and where the school is currently meeting, we now went over to see the school land, and it was a great surprise and shock to see that site had a number of trenches and a partially built building and a well. Interesting questions would need to be asked, as such, how was this financed? Discussions took place later that day, and we were advised that the building had been self-funded by Evans and Maureen, and additional funding received from a local politician before the presidential election that took place recently. There is no rush to complete the school build, although to get the school registered with the government, it cannot continue to meet in the church, as classrooms need to meet certain standards and sizes to meet the government requirements. The long-term vision for the school is to be within the primary school sector, which goes up to year 7 in Zambia. Currently, we have 4 classes, and another one will be needed in January 2017. Then one a year until we have all 7 years covered. This will need another teacher in each year for the next 3 years, and planning on how this will be funded needs to be looked into. Again, like last year, after the school visit, we went to see the homes of some of the children and their families. This is about a 10 to 15 minute drive away, so around 2 miles, which the children have to walk every day to attend the school. The children coin collection, first £100 was spent on umbrellas for the children to use in the up-and-coming rainy season. This is a great way for children to support children in Zambia, and I would like to thank all the children, and obviously the adults, for generously giving in this area. And now we'll have a look at the photos.
I'm just going to put a selection of photos on in the background because I couldn't pick, so they'll be in the background. We'll turn some. So just look, I mean, there'll be too many, we probably won't get through them. But this wasn't my first trip to Zambia. Some of you may know that it was 22 years ago that I went out to Zambia as a newly engaged woman as part of the help team at the time, which was what Covenant Ministries ran. And I spent 3 months in Livingstone before we were married and did all sorts of things down there. And what was really interesting is actually that work's still going on. And it's an amazing work down in Livingstone. And you just think, you just don't know sometimes what the impact of the things you do years ago has. And so I was thrilled to see that. So my experience of Africa was, although a long time ago, I kind of knew what to expect. And things probably hadn't changed a lot in terms of how things looked or felt. But so this was the first time that I had gone with Dave. And as you know, Dave's been going for many, many years. And one of the things that I just knew last year was that this was the time for me to go on the trip with him, and I didn't know what I was going to be doing. I just felt that it was right for me to go with him, and whether that was to just be there for support for the guys while they were out there or to do whatever, then I was just willing to go because I knew it was the right time. And then we got talking about what I might do while we were out there, and as some of you know, all of you know, I did 2 preaches while we were out there, which was a new thing for me. So there's so many things that I could tell you about this trip. There is just too much, and even from the clips that we've seen, there is just so much. But one of the things that really, really spoke to me was the fact that you can only really know what it feels like by going. I can't tell you what that journey is like. You had to be there on that day. And we did laugh a lot, but it was just brutal. It was absolutely brutal. And the only way that I could deal with this journey was to go, right, okay, so it's 100 miles, 4 hours. I'll break it down into 1 hour chunks and that'll feel better. And I said, Evans, can you let me know when we're halfway? Because then I'll know we're nearly there. And it was a bit of a squash in the back of the car. And it was just never ending. But it wasn't so bad on the way back. I felt that we didn't maybe do that really, really bumpy bit on the way back. It seemed to, we seemed to fly through. But maybe that was because I was used to it and all the rest of it. But, well, I don't even know what's coming up behind me. So just enjoy that. But travelling with these guys was great. And I absolutely trust Pete and Dave with my life being in that car. They were brilliant. They kept us safe. Rich was a good companion in the van. A good pillow to lie on. As you saw, we did sleep quite a bit in that car. I have got 4 points I'm going to go through, if I can get to them. So I've talked about the journey and this whole seeing for yourself thing. So when we arrived at the end of that really long journey, to arrive at that church building was amazing. We were just overwhelmed by what we saw, because we had imagined, we thought it was big from the pictures we'd seen on Facebook, but it's huge. That building is huge. And we've supported that. We've done that, you know, 30 odd, here we've supported that and made that happen, and it's truly a credit to them. They have used the best materials and done an amazing job in such a short space of time. So to see it in reality, to see where the money goes and to go, yeah, I can visualise that now, is really, really important. So I would say that seeing is sort of believing, and just it gives you that sense that, yeah, this is really, it's right and it's good and it's all of those things. The conference for me was amazing as well. And as you can saw from the videos there, I had opportunity to preach. And this really taught me, and I'm probably talking really fast now, but I'm going to try and be more measured when I talk to you, because I had to wait for lovely, gorgeous Edward to translate for me, and it just made me a bit more thoughtful about what I deliver and how I present it. But the most overwhelming thing when you preach out there in that environment is the response to the word of God. It kind of blows you away, because, and I don't know whether it's a cultural thing, possibly some of it is cultural, but every word that was preached, and it could be good, bad, indifferent, there is a response to the word of God that truly comes from their hearts, because they are just so hungry for the word of God. And everything you say, they're taking notes. They loved the projector with the slides, and just where they were taking notes. Hunt came up to you afterwards and thanked you for it. Even over the last week, I've been getting messages from various people saying, I still remember the words that you preached. They were really, really powerful. So that's really encouraging, as somebody that, you know, gets up week after week, but to preach, that you want to be encouraged that what you're saying and bringing them from God is having an impact on them. So that was incredible. And during the conference as well, it was really good, because you could just get up and have a wander around, particularly when it got really, really hot. So I would go and have a little wander around, particularly at lunchtime, just wanted to check the kitchen was in order. Just check that the ladies out there who were cooking for 300 over open fires, that they just felt that, you know, what they were doing was an amazing job. We kept getting invited for lunch, which obviously we couldn't eat chicken that had been cooked in 38 degree heat out there. But they were just really blessed that I went round and said hello and was interested in what they were doing. And then also the Sunday school, absolutely incredible, 81 children, although there was more, wasn't there? It was about 100 and something children at the actual conference. Were rammed in a little room, probably smaller than that upstairs room, and they were all reciting the Lord's Prayer. They were all singing their songs, and then they did their little lesson, and it was good just to be able to see that they were enjoying the conference too. So that was the conference. And then just the amazing hospitality and generosity that we received. from the moment I arrived when I was presented with flowers at the airport to when we went into Pastor Joseph's church, and the children, and it is overwhelming because the children kind of bowed down on the floor as we walked in to the building, and which is just, and again, more flowers and just wonderful, wonderful gifts that are just given out of just love and honour for us, and they have so little but give us so much. These beautiful dresses, you know, handmade, and it is just really overwhelming. And we just had an amazing time at Pastor Joseph's church, which Rich will probably allude to as he wraps up for us, because, and it was a truly, truly special time. And Pastor Joseph and his wife Betty are just an amazing, amazing couple, and we're truly blessed by them. And visiting Evans's house again was amazing, and that's something, you know, we've input into that. We've supported that build of that building, so to see it and to walk around and to go through the rooms, to have a meal with his family, was brilliant. And Noah, who's one of the worship leaders who you might have seen on the clip there, he prepared the meal for us, and he's a qualified chef, and it was just brilliant. And I hadn't been feeling that great that day, and I was like thinking, oh, you know, God, just help me with this, because I need to not be sick for the journey back. And actually, it was a lovely, lovely meal, and I did feel a lot better after eating it. And we just had a lovely, lovely time there. And so just to wrap it up, really, one of the things I was really concerned about, or that was just preying on my mind a little bit before I went, was I hope I'm not going to be so tired that I'm not going to be able to give out as I need to be, because of the journey, because of all of this. I came off the back of a hugely busy time at work. I had this thing in my mind, this isn't really a holiday and all the rest of it. But actually, do you know what? It really made me reconsider what a holiday actually is. And I came back feeling refreshed and feeling like I'd had a rest. And I did probably sleep more than some on a night, so I got my 9 hours in every night. But again, from a spiritual perspective, and Christine and I were just talking about this before the meeting, I think I was spiritually refreshed during that time. There was time to rest, there was time to consider, even though we were doing lots of things, making lots of decisions, I was somewhere else. I wasn't here with all of the things that concern me here. So it was a holiday. So if anybody is considering, oh, you know, 2 weeks is a lot out of my annual leave, yes, it is, but it is a holiday. It's, you know, you will get something back from it that you'll be able to take away forever. And coming back this week has been really, really strange, because I've gone straight back into work, and it's just a bit bonkers, some of the things that we concern ourselves with on a daily basis. So it kind of gives you space while you're out there, because life's a bit simpler. You know, you get up, you have your breakfast, we went to church, we came back, yeah, we had some decisions to make. It was just quite nice to have a bit of space. So I don't know how far we got through my photos, but yeah, Rich can take over.
Thanks, Nikki. You know, apart from the Africa trip, we have got some incredible talent in this church, and the way you've put those videos, and yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? Isn't that great? I just want to just wrap up, really. I mean, Dave has done my photos for me, so I don't know exactly what's there, but I trust Freddie to flick them through. You know, the moment we landed, we were straight on into business, and we went over to the Lusaka church on the day that we landed, and it was an amazing time. And, you know, most of the time we're spending up in Solwezi, but just for the one day we were in Lusaka Church, and there was a real strong sense of the Holy Spirit there. You see the building, it's made of, you know, wooden supports and metal roof, and, you know, just material for the walls. What surprised us all was they actually owned that building. We didn't realise that they owned the building. And again, that was through funding through the election. You know, a lot of money flies around during election times, people wanting to be elected. But the roof and that was also supported by Evans. They helped the Lusaka church to get that roof. But what we realised was because of the rainy season that was about to hit them, they really needed to get some proper wooden metal panels around that building. And so we've sent a gift to the Lusaka church to make sure those panels get in there before the rainy season. So I know that's going to be a real blessing. One thing I should say, that they don't have any electricity in the church. So, you know, towards the end of the meeting, you know, we started in the light, but towards the end of the meeting, it got a bit like this. But, you know, I was pretty well preaching in pitch black towards the end. but it was still very... I mean, you know what pitch black's like, but, you know, you've got to try and imagine having a meeting, and it was darker than this. It was way darker than this. In fact, you know, the only way people could see things were they used their phones and the lights on, because yeah, it'd gone pitch black because they got no electricity. Okay, put the lights back on. long term, they don't own the land that the building is on, but it is hopeful that they're going to be able to get that land probably next year, all being well. And again, it's something I'm working with the trustees to see if we can help them. That'd be two churches then, properly established. Moving on to the school. Pete mentioned that we had a bit of a shock when we got to Solways, and we looked at the main church building. That was great. Really done a fantastic job. And Evans has made sure they use quality materials for that building, which I'm really pleased about, isn't it? But he kept saying that he wanted to surprise us. He wouldn't tell us exactly what was going on when we were at the Safari Lodge. But we got to Solways, and he took us over to this, and we were just shocked. I mean, I had a real mixed feelings, I'll be really honest with you, because I was overjoyed at the fact, you know, he put this building on this site, and I was horrified. Also, because we'd not approved this as trustees, you know, our mind was that we would support one building, because it's a lot of money to support, you know, building projects. We've got to build one building, the church will be there, and the school will be there. So you can imagine my kind of joy on the one hand, but my sheer horror to see that this building was there. But as Pete explained, actually, this was all self-funded. Again, election money flying around. They take this election money plus a lot of resources they also had lying around, and they built, you know, this temporary part of the school. So, but it led to some really important discussions with Evans and Maureen, and they started sharing with us their heart to see the school grow, and that is our heart too. Because at the end of the day, whatever we're doing, the conferences and the preaching at, really, you know, what we're really supporting those children who would not be going to school at all if it wasn't for the support that we give. And to know their heart, to see that church, that school grow to, you know, seven classes, seven teachers, was just wonderful. You know, there's still a lot of work to be done in that building, as you can see, but I'm going to be working with the trustees to see if we can work out a long-term plan now to see that school grow over a period of time, rather than the sort of sudden rush, oh, we need this money, we need that money. And hopefully we'll do that a lot better. And also we have local needs here, you know, that we want to support as a church. Moving on. Last year, one of the comments I had from a lot of people, it made me, just because of the photographs that we showed, was, well, you didn't see, you know, you talk about poverty, but I didn't see a lot of poverty. And I think it's because, you know, people all dress up really nice, and they do. And the church building had all these, you know, materials, and everything looked really good. And you think, well, you know, where's the poverty? I'm hoping that you've seen a little bit more, you know, of the poverty through the photographs that you've just seen. But, you know, you saw the kind of houses people live in, you know, really, really basic. 58 people travelling literally on the back of that truck, you know, for 170 odd miles, you know, like imagine here to Peterborough, Faith Camp or something like that. You know, it beggars belief, really. You know, in the night during the conference, you saw the temporary building of the school. That temporary building, you know, no windows really, but, you know, the metal roof on, that, you know, the men were sleeping on the floor in that building every night during the conference. And the door on that building, you know, Maureen took off her own house and took it to the school to put on that building to, you know, so they'd be secure. This is real stuff, really. I think one of the things that shocked me and saddened me probably the most is when we went to Evans's house. Don't want to be too graphic, but I went to the loo and then tried to flush the toilet, and there was no water. I thought, oh, this is strange. So I said to Evans, oh, you know, your toilet isn't working. He said, well, we haven't had any electricity or any running water for the last 4 months. You know, I mean, I was just devastated at that. And he'd not spoken to me, because we've been feeding all this funding for the school and for the church. And what was more important to Evans was the support of the church and the school, not his own electricity and running water. And, you know, he broke my heart, really. And we fixed that now. We've sent some money over to Evans to get a new generator. And now they're back up and running and they've got water and electricity. But, you know, this is real poverty. You know, the people in Zambia are amazing. You know, they do so much with so little. And, you know, so I just want you to know that every bit of money that we send out to Zambia is a real, real blessing. Remember what I said in that video at the very beginning, you know, it might be a small church, but a small church with a big faith can do, you know, mighty things. I just want to finish, a couple of things to finish off with. One of the things that was really on my heart was Hudson Louis, which is Evans's brother. You know, without going into all sorts of details, you know, when we had difficulties several years ago, you know, as part of the, you know, BCC, and then we're becoming two churches, what that caused was, you know, we lost contact. You know, our relationship with Hudson Louis kind of broke down a bit, and we started working with Evans Louis, Hudson's brother. But that in turn caused a breakdown between Evans and Hudson. So for quite a few years now, you know, as brothers, I've had very little relationship, which has been, and that's been a real burden to me. And God really put it on my heart to, well, all of our hearts really, to go and spend some time with Hudson when we're out there. So again, the other thing we did when we landed in Lusaka is we went to spend some time with Hudson. It was a beautiful, beautiful time. It's lovely when people reconcile with each other, and it's led and prompted and moved by the Holy Spirit. Totally beautiful. And I spoke to Hudson about my belief that Hudson still should have a fatherly voice to his brother, who's younger, into Evans, because I'm concerned that Evans is out there and he's not getting a good cultural, wisdom, you know, wise spiritual input into his life. You know, we input as best we can. And I spoke to Hudson about this, and Hudson really wants to. And so on the Tuesday, when we had some real quality time with Evans, I spoke to Evans also about the importance of reconciliation, and, you know, spent quite a long time with him. But I really thank God that I just know this was of God, because I know since then, you know, they've been in contact with each other, and they were going to meet, and it just didn't work because of logistics. But I had an email from Evans last night, and that they do plan to get together. So I just thank God. You know, God is a God of restoration and healing, and, you know, I just know, and I'm a huge faith that, you know, that relationship is going to be healed, and Hudson will continue to have an important voice into Evan's life. So, you know, those are all the other things that kind of took place. It wasn't just the conference, just the school. You know, God's been doing amazing things. And I just want to finish with just a two-minute, I think it's just, well, maybe less, video from Evans to the church, because, you know, he's so blessed. He wanted to say thank you to all of you. And he did this, you know, on the third day of the conference. So we'll play the video, and then we'll be finished, okay? And, you know, so bless you all, and thank you for being here. Don't forget, next week is Remembrance Sunday. So but let's finish with this final video. Oh, by the way, we've put subtitles on it because Evans's accent is so strong. It's really difficult. It took Pete and I several attempts to try and figure out actually what he was saying on the video. Here we go.